What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, August 20th. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Today, I want to ask you guys if Miguel Cabrera is on the decline.
What? Wait, no, that's not the right noise. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
that's
the right you're going sad trombone first.
Yeah. And I want to ask you guys why you have a starting pitcher who has been a top six starting pitcher in both formats 2 years in a row is not even in your top 15.
That be Sashi Iwakuma?
It would be Sashi Iwakuma.
Yeah, I've been thinking I need to move him up.
Come on, you've been
studying football rankings too long. Top 15 starting pitcher is still like a fantasy ace. I don't think that's I think that's kind of nitpicky, Adam. I don't think it is
because I think that you and me and Al and people out there probably don't consider Iwakuma good enough to be your number one fantasy starter. And I think he has been I know he has been for 2 years because he had a DL stint at the beginning of the season, but since he came back and since he debuted, I think it was May 5th-ish, early May, number five pitcher in fantasy, which is exactly what he was last year. He was fifth in points, sixth in Roto. People maybe don't see the strikeouts, but he's an innings eater. The whip is amazing. Mm. And Iwakuma has been legitimately one of the best pitchers in baseball since the All-Star break of his rookie season.
Don't do this, Adam. Don't turn me into a Hisashi Iwakuma detractor.
I was
the high guy on him.
I was going to say, turn it on me because I've always been low guy on him, and I'm struggling with it.
You have him 21st.
Yep.
But that's what I'm saying. It's hard to argue with any of the guys you have in front of him, Scott and Al. I mean, you have Garrett Richards, Alex Wood, Scott Kazmir, Arrieta, Lester. I feel like I'd rather have Iwakuma than those guys. But again, they're debatable. I just feel like he hasn't quite gotten his due. He has been as good as every pitcher pretty much in front of him. He just doesn't strike guys out like the other ones do.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing, and I know that this is, going to sound you're pulling the string on me, and I'm saying the same sort of thing I say about pitchers who overperform their strikeout, walk, and ground ball rates. But all right, so back-to-back years, and actually three straight years, Iwakuma with an 81% plus strand rate. Nobody does that. But it's 3 years now. And also 3 years with a below-average BABIP. Pitchers who aren't fly ball pitchers rarely do that. So now I feel like we're in the Helixson zone, where Helixson was much better in his first two seasons than those three rate stats that I mentioned that those would suggest.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in ground and in year three, the rug came out from under him. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen with Iwakuma or not, and I don't want to equate Iwakuma with Helixson because Helixson just didn't have a good strikeout-to-walk ratio. Iwakuma clearly does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's just more in kind of Jared Weaver, I want to say Doug Fister because I trust him more as a strikeout guy, but he's kind of in the Weaver-esque territory but with better control. Is he skating on ice that's too thin for this
to last? All right, that's very interesting. Very interesting.
Iwakuma has a 10-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Nobody does that either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It seems like there ought to be somebody.
But when David Price does it, we're like, oh, he's the best. He's going to win the Cy Young. Oh, when Iwakuma does it,
he's
we're
not
like,
quite there.
He's 17th.
He's not quite 10-to-1. Oh, come on. 17th could easily win a Cy Young award. I mean, now you've turned Al into the Iwakuma detractor. But at the same time, you're talking about a pitcher you have ranked what? 21st.
Yeah, so. But that's below where he's performed, and it's below where I think a lot of people see him at this point.
But it's not like you don't like Iwakuma.
No, I never said that.
But people are going to hear that, and that's how they're going to interpret it.
I clearly framed it.
Yeah.
I framed it appropriately where I said you guys don't value him as the best pitcher, as a guy who should be the best pitcher on your fantasy staff.
The biggest concern for me, apart from some of the things Al brought up, is just how many DL stints has he had since he's reached the big leagues. And he's already on the wrong side of 30, so there's that. Can you? Is he that 220 innings? Obviously, start per start, he eats innings, but is he that 220 innings guy over the course of the year? I would think you'd want your number one to be that. That's my biggest issue.
All right. Well, that was a fun Hisashi Iwakuma discussion. We're going to try to grade some trades in just a little bit. We'll talk about Mike Fiers, who was awesome again. Tsuyoshi Wada, five scoreless innings in a rain-shortened game. He only threw five innings. He threw a complete game. Chris Carter homered again. We'll do a little worryometer. You mentioned Jared Weaver, and I'm not touching him with a 5,000-foot pole next year. And more.
Oh, you know what? I got to bring this up.
Yeah.
Tsuyoshi Iwakuma threw 219 and two-thirds innings last year.
Yeah.
And I had that number right in front of me, and I didn't even.
I feel like he. Gosh, I hate when I do something like that. I say something with such conviction, and then I look it up, and it's like, boop.
Well,
Never mind.
I thought you meant, is he going to be going forward because you're worried about him getting injured.
I know there's been some injury situations. Maybe it's one of those things he's been able to pitch through. I mean, just last night, he was grabbing his side, and Lloyd McClendon had to come out and check on him. He had like a minor calf issue at the end of the eighth inning.
So he's tough.
Yeah,
his nails.
Maybe. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Forget everything I said. He's awesome.
Al, I went on baseball heat maps this morning.
Good for you.
And I thought I was reading Chinese. Could not interpret it. I need your help. So I was trying to look up Miguel Cabrera's fly ball distance.
Yes.
Go ahead, see if you can do it. Tell me if they.
All right.
Because he's not hitting more ground balls. The home run to the ground ball to fly ball ratio is basically the same as it's been. And let's look at the overall numbers for Cabrera. 308, 17 home runs. That's pretty low. Very low for him. He hit 44 home runs each of the previous two seasons. 87 RBI, 78 runs, one steal, whatever. 52 walks, 85 strikeouts, 40 doubles. So I see he's hitting more doubles this year than home runs. I don't mean overall. I mean the home runs are down, doubles quite high. And his home run to fly ball ratio has fallen to 7.9%. That is the lowest in the career of Miguel Cabrera. And I would speculate injuries have something to do with this. He's been playing banged up. Are we seeing a guy who's now, 31? He's going to be 32 next season, I think in April. Are we seeing a guy who is in the decline phase of his career and is no longer one of the two best options in fantasy baseball?
It is all over for him because last year he averaged 309 feet per fly ball. Uh-huh. Sorry that came out so awkward.
I'm going to guess like 307.5.
No, 305.
Okay, so it's not that.
And he remains one of the leaders in that category.
So I wonder what it is. Why do you think his home run to fly ball rate is so low? Lowest of his career.
Well, I think he said it. He said it too. He's recovering from, what was it, groin surgery
groin,
for him?
And yeah, he's got like a thumb thing. I don't know. He's got like a couple of like dings and dents. But it was the groin, yeah, that he had last year.
That was
year.
The big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yet you'd think that would show up in that
exactly.
Average fly ball distance stat. So it just sometimes it's just something that happens. Can go next and take a look at the spray chart and see how many of those babies were near the warning track. You know, could be that.
Are you going Goldschmidt or Cabrera next year? Remembering Cabrera no longer third base eligible.
Yeah, I'm still going Cabrera.
Scott?
Yeah, me too. It's Trout. Trout's the clear one. I'm actually going to write a column on the first two rounds of next year's draft today.
Oh, cool.
Trout would be number one. I would still put Cabrera two, but if somebody passed him up, it's kind of the same situation as like Joey Votto last year. Well, the power numbers are down, but he was still basically a first-round type player, close enough that knowing how good he could be, you're still going to take him there. And then look what's happened with Votto. He's gotten hurt again, and the power wasn't so great before that. So it could be one of those situations where the extra cautious owner is going to pass on him because of that, and I wouldn't necessarily blame him for it. But I think Cabrera is still young enough that if he has a huge bounce back season and ends up being another MVP type year next year, it wouldn't surprise me.
By the way, something really impressive about Goldschmidt. I'm looking at these rankings for average fly ball distance. He is first. Mm. Now let me just read. I'm not going to give you the names, but just read the distances from second on down 311, 310, 309, 309, 308, 307. So bunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Goldschmidt's average is 315.
Whoa, all right.
So he's in first place by a lot.
Gotta love that Arizona air.
He's gonna be stuck on that number too. So
yeah, exactly. All right, Tuesday standouts. Mike Fiers does it again. 7 innings, 2 hits against the Blue Jays. 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Chris Carter hit a 3-run homer off David Robertson after striking out in each of his 4 at-bats at the Yankees. Now he's got 29 homers. Actually, I think he's 30 now.
Yeah, it is 30.
30 home runs, excuse me. So Fiers and Carter, two of the fastest risers right now in fantasy baseball. What are your thoughts?
Well, I trust Fiers more in terms of looking at the current performance and, you know, taking action on it. I trust what Fiers is doing. And with Carter, I mean, this game is just such a microcosm of how I perceive him. You get the home run and then strikeouts in the other 4 at-bats. So if he cools off power-wise, and eventually he will to at least some degree, you're just not – I don't think you're left with enough. But, I think that's still – after all this time on the hot streak, I think that's still where I'm at with Carter. But,
yeah.
Yeah, last year is just looking more and more like an outlier to me for Fiers.
Yeah, well,
I know you had a rough end of 2012.
Last year and the end of 2012. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Fiers. Looks like he's going the Hisashi Iwakuma route here. We've talked about the control and the 14th strikeout game and everything. In his 3 starts, he's given up 8 hits in 21 innings. That is,
yeah.
He's dominance.
He's killing it.
Dominance.
What do you think happens when Loesch and Garza are both healthy?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
I mean, assuming Fiers doesn't have a disastrous start somewhere in here, I would think Jimmy Nelson's out. That would be my guess. Yeah.
I agree. You know, just how can you put Fiers in the bullpen after this?
Yeah.
Unless,
yeah,
like you say, collapses.
And they gave Nelson some time in the bullpen late last year, so it's not like he's completely unfamiliar with that role. I do want to mention, I know we've had a slow beginning here as far as lingering on topics, but
it's fun.
I am a little more confident in Carter than Al is. Not that I necessarily disagree with any of his individual points, but it's like, if we're going to hype Mark Trumbo as an every week option as a 240 hitting 35 homer type, like, why wouldn't we treat Carter the same way?
Well, is he a 240 hitting 35 homer type, or is he a 210 hitting 35 homer type?
He may not be 240, but he walks a heck of a lot more than Trumbo, so I think that makes up for it. He's going to have a higher on base percentage than Trumbo. I think that's than Trumbo would in a typical Trumbo season.
Yeah. Next up, Tsuyoshi Wada. Thoughts? What do you think?
There you go.
Hey.
I think he's underowned. Comparing him with Hendricks, which seems like sort of the natural thing to do because, you know, they joined the Cubs rotation roughly the same time. They've both been on, good streaks with consistency. And I actually trust Wada a little more than Hendricks. I don't think there's a lot that separates them, but their ownership rates are Wada's half of what Hendricks is, and I don't completely understand it.
Would you rather have Wada or Bauer?
At this point, I would much rather have Wada.
Yeah, me too.
I'm thirsty.
Stupid Bauer.
Bauer. Duh. Al knew better. Al knew better than to trust. It was unfortunate timing with that 2-start week right after the Arizona start.
Arizona, I didn't know better.
I ranked him pretty highly. I didn't make him a must start, but I ranked him higher now than I wish I did.
And I got a few more guys here. Joe Nathan, bad again. Got a save, but he stinks. So,
and Jabba blew a save too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he blow a save? Well, he screwed up in the 8th.
Yeah.
And then Nathan gave up 2 hits and a run and a walk. And he's walking everybody, so.
Jim Johnson vulturing the win there.
Soria?
Yeah.
Soria? Yeah. That's all that needs to be said.
Yeah, I guess so. Every time I say Soria, I have to think. I just cannot stop getting him and Neftali Feliz confused.
You're not alone.
Screwing my head up. Chris Carter homered, but so did Oswaldo Arcia. Now three straight games for Arcia, and he's 23% owned. Last 13 games, 286 with six homers.
You know, if he walked more or struck out less, I could get excited about this. And it still might be a great sign for a sleeper appeal next year. I think he is going to break out eventually and become like a top 30 outfielder type in fantasy. But I'm not sure I'm ready to trust him anywhere close to that yet.
Arcia or Reddick, who also homered.
I'll go Arcia.
You know, I think I'm going to go Reddick. That's awesome. I got the blue screen on my laptop.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a good omen.
Oh, man. The dreaded blue screen.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Reddick. One thing I've noticed about him is since returning from the DL, all right, we know he's been hot, 304 batting average, 5 home runs, 913 OPS in 26 games. 6 Ks in those 26 games.
Wow.
Whoa.
And so, you know, I'm sure partially because of that, he has a career low strikeout rate. Career, he's 1 out of 5 at-bats. This year, he's 1 out of 6, which is low for a power hitter. 1 out of 5 isn't so bad for a power hitter, but 1 out of 6 definitely is good. So maybe that's a sign that this is a little more sustainable than it appears.
And Justin Upton, having a great year, number 10 outfielder in points, number 6 in roto, and I guess sometimes you got to deal with his streakiness. But he's batting .288 with 5 homers in August. He's slugging .610 this month. And he has 24 home runs on the year, 7 steals. Maybe not a 18-steal guy anymore, Upton, although he's only 26, 27 years old. Be 27 in 5 days.
Man, Braves don't like running.
Yeah, but who cares? Okay, anything for you guys, standouts?
Well, let's talk a little about Nolan Arenado.
Mm, all right.
Because he has kind of a similar situation to Reddick since coming back. 13 walks to 19 strikeouts and 152 at-bats. And the walks are encouraging. The fact that he has 7 home runs in those 152 at-bats, more than half his season total in only 40% of the at-bats or something. Like, the breakout has continued even since returning, which to me makes it more legitimate because it wasn't just a hot streak and he happened to get hurt and it ended there. Power and plate discipline were his two shortcomings earlier in his career, and he seems to be improving in both regards. So he's past David Wright for me now at third base.
Nolan Arenado is the number 2 second baseman in fantasy in the last 28 days. Now, when did we have the conversation about David Wright being droppable? That was on the video show, right?
Yes.
So I guess what I should have said is, like, if you have Nolan Arenado and David Wright is now either your bench or your utility, can you now drop David Wright?
I don't think so, and I'm glad you brought Wright up because there was a piece in the New York Times that came out, I think it was yesterday morning, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher the name, so I apologize in advance. Jorge Aranguren. If anybody knows how to pronounce that name, please let me know so I don't butcher it in the future.
Ask Kirk.
But, he's on vacation. I'll text him.
Yeah.
So anyway, but a good piece about Wright and looking at his stats pre and post June 12th when he hurt his shoulder. I think it was sliding into second. And I took the research a little further and went to
Baseball Heat Maps.
And looked at the fly ball distance. And the graph of it's really interesting because up to June 12th, it was like in the 270s. Not, you know, elite, but, you know, nothing that would cause you great concern. And then plummeted after that. And then in the last three weeks up till now, it started to rebound. So that gives me some hope. You know, Scott, you point out the fact Wright's hitting singles now. You know, so maybe that's the outcome that we're seeing in terms of, you know, a little more power. At least he's getting base hits. And, you know, if that trajectory continues, then maybe we start to see the right of old again. So I'm not willing to drop him.
All right. How about some injuries, news, and notes? Ubaldo Jimenez moving to the bullpen. Miguel Gonzalez is likely going to start now for Baltimore. Justin Verlander could start Saturday. Oakland skipping Jason Hamels' next start. Jesse Hahn was sent to AA. San Diego monitoring his innings. Now, Hahn's going to come back up in September, but possibly as a relief pitcher. So he seems like a safe drop, right? Jesse Hahn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kyle Loesch targeting next week, so Fires is going to get two starts this week, almost certainly. Matt Garza hoping for an early September return. Jacob deGrom will start Saturday. Are they officially taking Rafael Montero out of the rotation?
I haven't seen anything official, but I think that's a safe conclusion to reach.
Andrew Kashner will start this weekend. He's 80% owned, so maybe he was dropped in your leagues. Alex Rios was out yesterday with a bruised thumb. He did pinch hit, though, at the Marlins. Yu Darvish probably won't be ready to come off the DL in 5 days when he's eligible. It's going to be a little longer for Darvish. Will Middlebrooks, hamstring tightness, left yesterday's game. Salvador Perez was back. Aroldis Chapman, are you concerned about his shoulder enough to pick up Broxton or anyone else in that bullpen?
You know, it's not, well, the thing is I just don't like Broxton that much. I don't really like the alternatives in general in the Reds bullpen, but I am concerned. Especially after, what was he, walked four guys?
Yeah. Four in a row, I think, right?
You know, it's not going to be J.J. Hoover.
No,
it's not going to be him. Have you seen his record?
He sucks.
He apologized to the fans yesterday.
1-10.
Do you know who leads baseball in hit by pitch?
Hitters. Greg Biggio.
I saw the stat on this, but it doesn't help me much because I can't remember who it was.
I'm asking, so he got hit by a pitch.
Oh, it's John Jay.
Yeah, it's John Jay. won the game with a hit by pitch. Zach Greinke has a sore elbow. It was Hoover, right? Hoover hit him?
I don't know that.
He lost last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
By the way, that was
the 10th loss.
Yeah.
I know you don't generally read my columns, but John Jay is featured in the waiver wire column.
Yeah. So. He's hitting well. What'd you say about him?
You know what? Don't read it because you're probably not going to like it.
No, he's had hot streaks.
He's going to give you an empty 300 average. Yeah. I used to like him when he ran more.
Exactly. 2 years ago, he was useful. He was stealing bases, scoring some runs. Now he just has a decent average. All right, Zach Greinke has a sore elbow. May not make his next start. Hasn't quite been himself in the last two. He walked five in his last start, and then before that, 4 runs in 6 innings. Pedro Alvarez will probably not play third base anymore, and he didn't start at first base yesterday. So they have a three-headed monster now, and there was a righty on the mound. So Alvarez, is he droppable?
Yeah, I think so.
I want to wait a little while and see what happens at first base.
Yeah, in a head-to-head league, in the type of scenario you presented where you already have third base filled by somebody better, he's droppable.
Okay.
You know, I'm just trying to think of this. I don't think there's any way that this creates an opening for Travis Snyder, but Snyder did start.
Oh, it does.
Yesterday.
I mean, Josh Harrison is your everyday third baseman, and that's it. And then Snyder.
You got Polanco and McCutchen back now.
Oh, so who sat yesterday?
It was Polanco.
Oh, Polanco.
Yeah. So I don't think that helps. I don't think that helps Snyder.
You're right, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Polanco was out.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Travis Snyder.
I'm sorry. and Snyder doubled, so he went 2-for-4 with a double. Jason Worth, 3-for-5 with an RBI and 2 runs yesterday. Gerrit Cole starts tonight against the Braves. Start or sit?
I'd start him.
Oh, come on. The Braves are crushing everybody.
This is like would be the third time I get killed by the Braves betting against them. I like
the Braves
Cole,
are so up and down. Their whole lineup individually is up and down. So as a team, their offense becomes up and down. After that terrible losing streak, they've won what now? 5 in a row? 6 in a row?
I'm not sure.
And just crushed the Pirates the last 2 days.
Angelton Simmons, speaking of which, you know, was so excited about him batting second. And then he batted 7th last night. So good for you. Phil Gosselin batted 2nd. That makes sense. Steve Pierce played first base, went 1-for-4 with a double and a run at the White Sox. He batted 2nd. He's 23% owned. Utility spot, Pierce or Arcia?
Arcia.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that for now.
Justin Morneau back in the Colorado lineup.
So you know how we write headlines for, you know, Fantasy Baseball Today when we're, you know, pitching ideas. So what did you think of Phil and Tommy make two? I mean, I didn't know that. Well, it's Phil Gosselin, so John and Kate Gosselin.
Oh.
John and Kate McAfee.
Way too many steps in that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work.
And Joe Panik still day-to-day with a dislocated finger. I think you could probably write a pretty good headline with Joe Panik.
Yeah.
San Francisco and Chicago, as mentioned, that game was called in the fifth due to rain. Vogelsong and Wada were the starting pitchers. And Michael Kadire was out with hamstring soreness. He was on the DL with a shoulder injury. This is a new injury, so out with a hamstring. Yeah. Let's get that worryometer out. For Francisco Liriano and Ian Kennedy, 10 is a drop. Mike Fiers is out there. Seo Shiwada is out there. Well, maybe not Fiers. He's 75% owned. Wada is out there.
Wow, 75? You know he was only 19 at the time of that 14th strikeout, and now he's 75?
Crazy, yeah.
It's deserved, but.
Good guys are out there on waivers. Francisco Liriano, terrible last night. 0 to 10, 10's a drop. Worryometer me.
7.
No, I'm going. Look, he just came up on the buzzsaw there, and
that's all that happened.
Been really
seven.
Good before that.
Yeah,
the consistency just drives me nuts.
He's been pretty good since he came off the DL.
Well, yeah. So that was what? It's about a month.
He had a 109, like 189 ERA, 8.7 WHIP, 9.9 strikeouts per nine in his previous six, and the walks were up in the last of those six, but otherwise they were down.
I mean, look, I'm not making him a 9. I'm not saying I'm on the verge of dumping Liriano, but, yeah, he's benchable.
5.
Seven sounds like you're on the verge of being on the verge of...
on the eight is on the verge. 7's on the verge of being on the verge. 6 is on the verge of being on the verge of being on the verge.
Yeah, well...
And 5
No, don't
just,
say it.
Okay.
Getting dizzy.
Ian Kennedy, he has... A 4.64 ERA since the All-Star break and a lot of walks.
So disappointing. Yeah. So just because he had a good stretch, good control in that stretch, much longer than Liriano had put together. So I bought in, totally bought in with Kennedy.
So talking in the past tense there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got to put him on the worryometer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to hoist him up there.
10's a drop.
All right. He's also a 7.
He's a 6 for me.
Didn't you say he was dealing with an injury?
Yeah. Well, he said that. Now, I've already proven my memories failing me at age 30 here, but I think it was oblique.
Right. Well, dude's struggling.
Yeah.
Is he giving up home runs, though? That's the one thing I forgot to check. I will look that up. Because earlier in the year, he struggled. And you guys were like, well, he's not giving up home runs, so I'm not worried. And it turned out to be good advice. And nah, he's not really.
Yeah.
Like, since the bad streak started, only 2 home runs in 6 starts. And 2 walks in each of his last 2 starts. That was in 11 combined innings, 4 walks in 11 innings. So maybe bad luck. I don't know.
I got to say I'm impressed because you are also 30 and you remembered stuff we said in April. I don't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. So
yeah,
that's good.
Well, I never really trusted Ian Kennedy. I was always looking for a reason to drop him. And I did drop him in 2 leagues and I never felt great about it because he's striking out so many guys. But I just feel like he's been an inconsistent pitcher throughout his career, basically, other than 1 year. But you guys were right about him in the past. So, you know. You made me look foolish earlier.
Stupid.
Yeah. All right. 0 to 10. 10's a sit. All right. You know what? Let's forget the worryometer and let's just talk about Jared Leifer. Because as mentioned, I'm not going anywhere near him. And I think he is in decline phase. You look at what he's doing this year. Weaver's got a 1.235 whip. And he's usually really good with whip. Last year it was 1.14 and that was very high for him. The previous 3 seasons it was under 1.1. 3.70 ERA. This guy's usually low threes. Last year it was like 3.27. That's what it was last season. And before that, I mean, it was in 2.90s, low threes. He might even have like a 2.70 in there. So I just think Weaver's getting worse. I think the velocity is so bad now. And we know he's bad on the road, 4.82, good at home, 2.89. A guy like that is just not worth it to me earlier than like the 15th round.
Yeah. No, that's probably fair. It's been subtle regression for Weaver from year to year. Last year, the hit rate went up by about a hit per nine. it's about the same this year. All that's really changed this year from last year, as far as those rate stats go, is the walk rate. 2.9 now. He hasn't had one that bad ever. He had 2.8 way back in 2009. So he's more hittable now, and the control is less than stellar. Still decent, but less than stellar. But I think he's just a good enough... It probably is part of a regression, but I don't think it's going to be like a Tim Lincecum collapse type situation. I think he's always been a finesse pitcher anyway, and usually those guys make adjustments to maybe not get back to where they were, but stay relevant. Kind of like Tim Hudson. I see Weaver having a Tim Hudson-type finish to his career. And look, if we were drafting today, I don't know that Hudson would be much better than a 15th rounder either, but he would be drafted everywhere, and he would be started most weeks. I think that's kind of where I am with Weaver.
All right. Yeah, I can't really say any differently. The key thing is whether or not he can get his control back to where it was, because it's got to be elite level for him to, be more than the mid to late round guy.
Well, then let's move on and grade some trades. And here's the kind of a thing I have to mention on grade the trade. You got to keep it kind of brief, because like these grade the trades that are just paragraphs and explaining, or I can't read those on the air. People will tweet me and say I'm an idiot. And
stupid.
I had my feelings hurt this morning by a Twitter follower. He just called me something very rude. And I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Then you probably don't want to hear the person who tweeted me. And yesterday I couldn't help myself pun-wise, and I said tonight an Odor will invade Marlins Park. Somebody replied, Azer.
That's funny. I'm cool with that. All right, from Nate. I just traded Justin Upton for Gerrit Cole in a 10-team head-to-head points league.
Well, that was silly. Yeah, I mean, Cole's not nobody, but that's I'm having a hard time calling that anything but F.
Val?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on to better trades.
Okay. I'm just looking up this I'm trying to cheat here. Look up this greeting. Dear Barry, Jamal, and Fauzi. No, Tyrant? Nobody watches Tyrant. Come on, Samik.
Nobody's heard of Tyrant.
This is Samik from Mumbai, India. Grade the following trades. Keep the keeper aspect in mind. It's a 16-team categories league. I'm in first. I want to improve my championship chances. I give up Rendon and Yelich, and I get Stanton, Carpenter, and Gausman.
Rendon and Yelich, Stanton, Carpenter, and Gausman.
And he's given up really good keeper values for guys he can't keep, but, I mean, you're winning this year, so that's...
Oh, yeah, well, you're definitely winning this year. I don't know how value factors into that, but just taking the players at face value, I give that a B+.
Me too. This is scary. Two
I then row. Proceeded to trade Gregory Polanco and Byron Buxton for Mike Trout.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're going to struggle next year with keepers, but you've just got Stanton, Carpenter, and Trout for Polanco, Rendon, Yelich, and Buxton. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And Kevin Gausman as well. Chris in the ICT, dear Joe, Tony, and Bobby.
That's Wichita, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Joe, Tony, and Bobby. It sounds like Sopranos. Oh, but it isn't at all. It's baseball related. You guys can think about it. 12-team head-to-head points league with 30-man rosters. I give Wheeler. I get Kadire. He needs somebody to replace Goldschmidt, and he has Fires, McHugh, Minor, Nelson, and Darvish. Eesh.
Yeah. I was liking it better till you told me that.
Yeah. Those are his bench starting pitchers.
Oh.
Okay.
Woo. All right. Well, we're back to...
Give up Wheeler, get Kadire.
B-.
B-.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Joe, Tony, and Bobby are recent members of the...
Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Managers.
Manager.
Yep.
Eddie and the Lou. Dear LD, Jeff, and Funkhauser. L. So, how relevant.
Yeah, it's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It is, yeah. 5x5, 10-team categories league. I give up Doug Fister and Chris Coughlin. I get Jason Kipnis. My pitching staff is strong, and I need steals. I have Alcantara right now at second base, so he's going to replace Alcantara with Kipnis. Gives up Fister and Coughlin, gets Kipnis.
C plus.
I'll give it a B minus.
I wanted to know if you guys were done with Kipnis. At least, like, done hoping.
What?
For power.
Oh.
Because he's not doing anything except stealing bases.
He seems to score points, though. I know that's...
Well, in Roto, he's...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I benched him for Javier
home
Baez.
Runs specifically, you're right. He's not giving you those.
I can't believe I benched Jason Kipnis in a 30-man roster Roto league.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have done that.
Well, I'm happy I did. I want a friggin' home run every now and then. He's got six.
He's just so crazy streaky.
I know, but he hasn't gone on a streak yet.
First and second half splits for both 2012 and 2013. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he missed so much time with injury this year might keep him from having that prolonged hot streak.
Yeah.
But
where's he in your rankings, Jason Kipnis?
He's still top eight second baseman. He's still ahead of, like, Utley and Murphy, and I moved Pedroia way down yesterday. I'm more concerned about Pedroia's fantasy relevance than Kipnis's at this point.
I got him seventh.
But that's disappointing.
Sure it is.
You guys had him, what, fourth?
I had him as a second rounder coming into the year.
I had him either second or third, I think.
Second or third. Yeah.
Let's go four up, two down. Four up, number one, David Peralta. Home runs in two straight games. However, only five hits in his last nine games.
They're both road games. So evening out those splits.
32% owned. Peralta or Arcia?
I'm going Arcia again.
Yeah, Arcia.
Peralta or Ozuna?
I will go Ozuna.
Me too.
Arcia or Ozuna?
I'm going Ozuna.
Yeah, pretty similar players, similar value. I'll go Ozuna.
Martin Prado is four up, number two. 3-for-4 with a double, two RBI, and a run scored against Houston, and he batted fifth, and he played second base for the Yankees. And he has a home run and two doubles in his last three games, but two walks, 13 strikeouts in August.
Going up against Oberholzer, that was one of the four lefties the Yankees were scheduled to face. And Prado entered this game like a 350 hitter against lefties, so I don't know how much that contributes. I would credit that more than saying, oh, this is the start of a turnaround.
Gotcha. Okay, good point. Johnny Peralta, batting .343 with three homers and 12 RBI in August with six doubles. I was surprised. Peralta this year, .266 with 17 homers. Very good power for a shortstop. But number nine shortstop in points, number 14 in Roto. And I was a little surprised there's such a gap.
I'm surprised, too. That kind of power and run production from a shortstop?
Yeah. 32 doubles, I guess, maybe a big reason why. So much higher in points.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Makes sense. And is anybody buying into Carl Crawford? He's four up, number four. Last 15 games, batting .420 with a home run, which came last night against the Padres. Six RBI, 10 runs scored in 15 games, and six steals.
Five in the last six games, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah, so red hot, but still don't trust him because he's you know, there's no power there. He's got to hit for average to keep those steals coming, and Crawford hasn't really been a great hit for average guy in quite a while, so I don't trust the hot streak.
He hasn't hit for power. Last nine games, he's batting .500, two extra base hits. So, yeah, a lot of singles. Unless you can trust him to steal at a 40. Unless you could trust him to be a 40-steal guy again. I don't.
Crawford or Brock Holt?
Brock Holt?
Yep. Crawford or Dexter Fowler?
Dexter Fowler.
The foul one.
Willing Hammer Crawford?
The Hammer.
Yeah.
All right, let's go two down. Number one was Jason Kipnis. So number two is Casey McGee, who's batting .202. With a home run, four RBI, five doubles in his last 26 games.
And
pretty bad.
Leading the majors in double plays, hitting into double plays. Yep.
Is he droppable? He's 84% owned.
I think so. And certainly for that ownership rate, there's a lot of 12-team mixed leagues that he's still in that I don't think he needs to be in.
McGee or Alvarez rest of season?
Whew.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky. I mean, you're dropping him before you drop somebody like Alvarez, and certainly right.
I would rather start McGee now just because I trust the playing time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also think he'll, you know, I'm surprised that this slump is that bad, and I think somewhere in the midst of those 26 games is a good run because he was ice cold for a while and then was doing better. So I don't think that's a uniform slump. I like to add a three down, by the way.
Okay, go.
Not a surprise to anybody, I think, but Gordon Beckham, and it's relevant to me because Marcus Semien has been heating up. And back in April, I thought he could overtake Beckham and have himself a season. That hasn't happened, but his potential September call-up, I'd put him on the radar.
Okay. And in the rotation, a three-man rotation that includes Ibukuma, so we're skipping his start. And we're going to Chris Archer, who struggled yesterday. Any concerns? 5 walks?
No, but that's going to happen with Archer sometimes.
And how about Chris Tillman? All right, Al, come on. Buy in. Chris Tillman. Last 14 starts, 5-3, 2.31 ERA. And in his last 9 starts, 50 strikeouts and 60 innings.
You know, I mean, I want to because he's been doing this for so long.
Jump on.
Other than the control's been very good. But there's a lot of pitchers that do well with that. I don't see, other than just the results, how Tillman has established himself here.
Scott has him 81st, Al 112th, Herc 62nd. So, as the middleman, Scott, but still 81st for Tillman. And a guy that you had as a sleeper preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Between football and baseball, do I say spring training or preseason? I keep getting it wrong. So, why are you not higher on Chris Tillman at 81?
Because he was so bad earlier in the year. And at the beginning of this hot stretch, you gave the numbers for the last 14.
Mm-hmm.
12 of those have been quality, But at the beginning of it, the strikeouts were way down. I will say, last 5 of those 14 starts, 8.3 strikeouts per 9.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's 84% owned. I missed my chance to pick him up.
Right. I just don't trust him entirely. I think he's fine as a streaming option. And he's basically gotten his year-to-date numbers down to his year-to-date numbers last year. But I was thinking, I was kind of isolating his second half numbers last year and thinking he could build off that. I just think there's going to be those ups and downs with him that prevent him from being more than a streamer type in fantasy.
I'm going to name a bunch of pitchers, and you're going to tell me if you trust them on a start-to-start basis. Mike Fiers.
Yes.
Yes.
Aaron Harang.
No.
Nope. Trevor Bauer.
Nope.
No.
Dylan G.
No. Nope.
AJ Burnett.
No again.
No.
Kyle Gibson.
No.
Yeah.
Punk.
I guess.
He's going to dominate next time out.
He will.
Gave up 5 runs in 7 2/3 yesterday.
Yeah, so some starts, but not every start.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was AJ Burnett's line. He gave up 5 runs in 5 1/3 yesterday. He wishes he had AJ Burnett's line.
Yeah.
Jared Cozart.
No.
No.
Chase Anderson.
No.
Nope.
Tsuyoshi Wada.
Yeah. I don't know that start in a 1-start week, but out of this group.
Other than Fiers.
He's the most trustworthy.
Yesterday was not a good day for the fringy 2-start pitchers.
No, not at all.
Gibson was bad. Bauer was bad. I don't know if Burnett and G were 2-star guys because there are not that many games this week.
I don't think either was.
But they were bad.
And yeah, Anderson and Oberholzer both had nice quality start streaks going that got snapped.
Yeah, I was out for my parents' anniversary dinner last night, so I didn't see the...
What anniversary?
42nd.
Ah.
Happy anniversary, Azers.
Yeah. Good night. And I didn't see much of Oberholzer, but I saw him fall apart a little bit in the 6th when I got home. And luckily I fell asleep before the end. But he's not bad, you know?
No.
Like, it wasn't that bad of a start for Oberholzer.
This is, you know, not any kind of great praise based on where my thoughts were in March, but he was my favorite Astros starter
he was, yeah.
coming into the season.
can't believe you overlooked Dallas Keuchel on Colin McHugh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cozart my favorite
hasn't been bad
was
either.
Cozart.
Peacock. He's been like the worst pitcher in baseball.
In the bullpen, David Robertson has not struck out a batter in four straight appearances. That's 3 1/3. And last night he gave up a 3-run homer in a non-save situation. Any concerns?
Not really.
And Alan Webster in deep leagues, 12% owned, three straight quality starts. Not very good ones.
Yeah, they're like scraping, scraping the edge there of quality.
Let me read a few emails before we head out for the day. I know we're going to have an early podcast on Friday. Might have one tomorrow. Not sure.
Well, I'd like to know that, Adam.
I'll let you know
soon. So I can make sure I'm here.
Michael in Oregon. I've had the same guys in a league for a few years now, and this is our first year doing a keeper league. For the offseason, should I allow ads and trades, or should I, or should the rosters freeze until it's time to submit keepers?
You know, I am a big believer in freezing the rosters in the off season because in a keeper league, you'll find that the most active owners have a huge advantage when you don't freeze the rosters because they can just trade for all the crappy keepers who are going to help them right now and win the championship and then trade them all away for good keepers in the off season. I don't think that should really be the spirit of what a keeper league is about. I think it should be about making sound decisions, not just making sound moves, not just making more moves. Mm-hmm. So it's not as fun maybe, but I think it's makes for a better game.
Vince in Calgary. I have Garrett Cole coming off the DL. What do I do? He needs to make room. He's got Strasburg, Hamels, Weaver, Tillman, Hendricks, Roark, and I think he has Paxton too.
This is
so
not,
would you drop anyone?
This is not going to be popular. I drop Hendricks.
I drop Weaver.
Yeah, I saw you drop like Hendricks in every league, and then I went in and put in claims for him.
I think two leagues. Yeah, because I got it was Shoemaker.
Yeah, it was always Shoemaker. You were dropping him for
in three leagues, and Hendricks was my drop. Good, because I picked him up for two starts, Hendricks.
Oh, okay.
So dropping him now that I've got those two starts and getting Shoemaker's hopefully two starts next week.
Would you believe it? I would drop Jared Weaver. It's a roto league, by the way.
Well,
it's
just
worst
you
format.
Know, you're Adam Azer. You
well,
do whatever
I mean,
you want.
I'm
I was
serious.
Just gonna dismiss that.
Who would you rather? Who would you drop instead of Weaver? Tillman, Roarks, Tillman, Hendricks, Roark, Cole, Paxton.
I would drop Paxton. I would drop whoever the first guy was you said.
Tillman.
Tillman would be my first choice to drop, and
then
Paxton.
Guys that are pitching great right now. We've got 5 weeks left in the season, and Weaver's got a 486 ERA on the road or whatever it is. So
okay.
I'd look at his schedule. I'm not starting him in road starts.
Even in a two-start week if there's one road start?
Maybe.
And I haven't looked at the schedule, so I don't know how often that'll come up.
All right. Well, you guys aren't dropping him, so let me read one more before we go here.
Actually, but I think because this is, yeah, with Shoemaker, I don't know. I think the Angels have a really good schedule going forward in terms of ballparks.
Ha!
I think.
Take that! Yeah, well, he's not good for whip and he's not good for strikeouts. He's not that good anymore. Greg in Houston. What value would you put on Rusny Castilla? Castillo, yeah, he wrote Castillo. You screwed me up. Rusny Castillo for Dynasty Leagues as well as the rest of this season.
Trying to quantify that in terms of like...
You have 20 seconds.
Oh, so much pressure. Dynasty League? I mean, I think he's got to be owned in that.
You have 10 seconds. we're not that high on him for the rest of the season, but you're going to want to own him in Dynasty Leagues. How's that?
Sure.
3, 2, 1. See you tomorrow.